Today I want to take this time to talk to you about standing your ground, do not give in. The title of my message is, write it down, stand your ground, do not give in. Stand your ground, do not give in. God is the God of every season, and we believe it. Amen? Do we believe it? God is the God of every season. You know, I tell you, Friday was one of a bad day for me. I know some of, anybody here have bad days? Okay, that's okay. You know, and Friday was a bad day for me. You know why? Because, and I told you this already, I don't want to complain about the cold because this is my home. So I might as well enjoy the cold. You right? But there are days, Thursday and Friday, the cold got to me. You know? We say God is the God of every season. And if God is our God, then God is the God of my season. God is the God of every season. But I know sometimes people talk about God like he is this vague God. No, God is we're talking about the creator of heaven and earth. We're talking about God who gave his only son for the remission of our sins, for salvation. That's the God I'm talking about. I know the God I'm talking about. So if God is my, if my God is the God of every season, then my focus shouldn't be the season. Because the more we focus on our season, whether good or bad, the easier it is for us to be distracted. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken unto you," John 16:33, "that in me he might have peace. In the world he shall have tribulation." I figured today I choose the King James. And notice that I'm saying he shall. But you know, it's like, I told you all these things, the New Living Translation. "That you may have peace in me. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Be of good cheers. Hey, cheers. Oh, cheer, cheer. Be of good. How do you do? I mean, what, you guys cheer, right? Cheers. When you do it, do you do it with a gloomy face? No. You do it with excitement. You know, so-and-so is having a baby. You're having a party for the baby. Yeah, to the baby, right? Today might be your birthday. Well, to your birthday. Be of good cheer. And this is it. Underline that in your Bible. It says, Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." I have overcome the world. Write that down. I have overcome the world. Oh, man, God, thank God that we serve a God who has overcome the world. Amen. We serve a God who has overcome the world. You know, so I live in this world. Yes, things happens around me, but I'm not going to let the things happens around that are happening around me stealing my joy and peace. That takes pretty much a whole, I mean, that you have to completely trust God. Was it, what, 2 weeks ago? I had a plan to fly to Haiti and take my mom back. And they came up with a COVID positive. I couldn't go anywhere. I mean, there's nothing like something comes up and messed up your plans. Your good plan. Things, you had it figured out. And all of a sudden, you have to sit. But what do? You trust God. And you choose to believe that he's the God of that week. And either choose to be gloomy, grumpy, and sad, or be excited. What was that? Anyhow, be excited and have peace. Now, I want you to open your Bibles with me in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Thank you, Father, for your word. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. It says, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 in the New Living Translation. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off." For the devil said, "For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scripture says," what a conversation. "The scripture also say, you must not test the Lord your God." Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. "I will give it all to you," he said, "if you will kneel down and worship me." "Get out of here, Satan!" Oh, yes, I mean, you're thinking while you're reading, Jesus is like, "Satan, get over." You need to understand there has been a conversation with Jesus and Satan right there. And then the first thing Satan did, he came to Jesus with the word, questioning Jesus' identity as the Son of God. So, of course, Jesus is talking. "Well, this is what the word says." Satan says, "This is what the word says." Jesus replied, "Well, this is what also the word says." And finally, he had enough. He's like, "Man, get out! Away from me, Satan!" You know, sometimes we compromise. Oh, we just want to be nice. You know, there are certain people in your life you got to say, "Man, you know what? Away from me, man. I love you, but don't you ever talk to me like that." We want to play it safe. I pray the Holy Spirit would rock your world, would give you the backbone of Christ. That's why I said, stand your ground. Don't give in. Stand your ground now more than ever. You got to know what you believe. Right? You got to know what you believe. If you don't know what you believe, the world will tell you what you should believe. I mean, you see other religion, or maybe some of the atheist people, they know their stuff. They know their stuff. So have you ever talked to a Muslim? Oh, they know their stuff. It's like they know, but us Christians, followers of Jesus, you should know your stuff. How do you know your stuff? Well, if you don't spend time in the word of the Lord, how will you know your stuff? Bible study, nobody goes to Bible study. Home group, we do Bible study in our home group. There is no time for you to read the Bible. Intentional time, non-distracted time, non-divided time, just time with you and the word of the Lord. If you don't do that, how would you know? Can I have a witness? You got to know your stuff. Just imagine if Jesus was just anybody else. Get out of here. Just get out of here. I could just see Jesus. You know, sometimes we see Jesus, you know, just like the lamb, but we forgot he's also the Lion of God, the Lion of Judah. He's the Lion of Judah. You know, get out of here, man. Get out of here, Satan. For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. You see, when you read Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11, we can also see a parallel between Adam and Jesus. Because Adam's temptation happened the same way. The same thing happened. Now, if you open your Bibles with me, you know, I'm going to get you to go through your Bible today. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Thank you, Father, for your word today. Hallelujah. Romans 5, verse 12. It says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the entire human race. Adam's sins brought death. So death spread to everyone. For everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given. And though there was no law to break, since it had not yet been given, verse 14, they all died anyway, even though they did not disobey an explicit commandment of God, as Adam did. What a contrast between Adam and Christ. What a contrast between Adam and Christ, who was yet to come, verse 15. And what a difference between our sin in God's generous gift of forgiveness. For this one man, Adam, brought death to many through his sin, but this other man, Jesus Christ, brought forgiveness to many through God's bountiful gift. See the contrast? Because of Adam's disobedience, humanity inherit death and sin. That's why we need to be born again. You need to make sure you have a personal relationship or confess Jesus as your Lord in your mouth and believe that he is Lord and King. Then you have eternal life. Verse 18. Yes, Adam's one sin brought condemnation upon everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness makes all people right in God's sight and gives them life. That's the good news. Amen. Verse 19, because one person disobeyed God, many people became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many people will be made right in God's sight. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 20, God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful kindness became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful kindness rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see this verse right here, this passage, Romans chapter 5, verse 12 to 19. This is something for us to always keep in front of, especially when you deal with sinners. Because sometimes us Christians, we can be so judgmental. You know, we judge people. We judge them according to what they look like. You know, sometimes, of course, never judge a book by its cover, right? But we fail. We should love them. But this, you should understand that the gift of eternal life, the gift of forgiveness, replaced the condemnation. Of course, everybody has a choice. You see, now, Jesus' temptation, something for you to understand. I read this last week. I read the book of Matthew and John. And I actually spent a couple days. I mean, I'm like, I'm learning so much already just in this. Temptation will come. The enemy will always try to bring you down. As a matter of fact, Satan is really good at it. Satan is really good at killing, stealing, destroying. That's what he does good. I don't think he sleeps and wake up and stuff, but every day he looks forward to screw up somebody's life. And the crazy thing is, sometimes people don't get it. They think Satan loves them. I know here people think it's, you know, like, I don't know if you guys have heard about palm reading, people reading your hands, or medium. In Haiti, we call that voodoo. But here, they kind of call it something else, so it's so appealing. It is voodoo. Interpolation. The worship of spirits. The worship of the dead. Halloween, that's another thing. You know, and I mean, I think when we first moved here, we met somebody who invited us to their house because they were getting scratched to pray and cast a spirit. Yeah, literally. They would be at home sleeping and somebody would scratch them. And then they wake up and there's a big scratch on them. It's not movie. It's not effect. It's not like movie effect. It's reality. Somebody would be sitting in their living room and all of a sudden a chair is moved. By itself. Just like the angels. It's all around us. The evil spirits all around us. Influencing people's mind. So yes, he loves it. Satan loves it when we are not hot or cold for the Lord. He loves it when we are clueless in God's word. Yeah. That's why I am challenging you. Know God's word. Know the word. I can't know the word for you, my friend. It's impossible. I can't know the word for you. Fall in love with the word. Something that really challenged, I mean, it encourages me because she's talking with me. Kendra decided beginning of the year she's going to read the Bible in 1 month. Yeah, but you know what she did? I saw it. I'm watching her. She turned off a bunch of other distractions. Where are you now? January 1st, she's like, I'm going to read. I'm going to put my head in the Bible. I said, yes, honey, I'm going to help you. 3 days later, I'm lost. You know? But I'm watching her. You know, I said, all right, let me hear it. It encourages me just to see. And, you know, and she comes and telling me that all these things she's learning again in the word. And I'm like, oh, God, thank you for this friend I have who's in love with your word. And she's like, well, you know, this month, we can't do this, we can't do that, we can't, you know, we just turn a bunch of other times. Turn off other things to find time to be in the word. I challenge you, find time to know God's word. Find time. I would be a miserable pastor if I would just read the Bible to come preach. If I would just read the Bible to prepare a sermon. If this Bible here, the word of the Lord, I would only open it to prepare sermons. I would be a hypocrite. My life depends on the word of the Lord. Your life depends on the word of the Lord. More than ever. Because your enemy, he's waiting. He's looking for opportunity. I mean, he also, on a daily basis, sending, you know, arrows in your mind. We know how we fight in our minds. Yesterday I woke up, I'm like, guys, the snow is beautiful, but I really dislike it. But you know what? Yesterday I had one of the best days in my life. You know why? Because Kendra said, she's like, well, let's go. I want to go for a walk, something like that. I'm thinking, sometimes she really drives me nuts. Because I'm thinking, well, you know, it's like, I mean, come on now. But I thought she was joking. But by 9:30, 10 o'clock, I realized she's really serious. She's going for a walk. And I'm thinking, man, I'm so mad at this snow right now. And I'm realizing, but she's like, no, you don't have to come. I'm just going to go. But because I love her, I want to do something with her. So I'm like, well, I'll just go with you. Because, you know, that's the way I roll with my woman. I like her. I love her. I'm in love with her. So I do things just like she does. I do things sometimes I don't want to do. That's what love does. So I said, well, let's go. I said, I'll come with you. You know, Ryan, come on with us. Melissa, no, they're like, we're not going. I'm like, yes. I mean, I had the battle, you know. It was 3-1. So all right, put my stuff on, you know, bundle up. I mean, first when I step out, I felt a little grumpy. But because I'm living for her for the moment. She wanted to take a picture. We took a picture. I'm like, man. And then we're walking. She's like, let's walk fast. I'm walking fast. Of course, walking fast in the cold makes you warm. Okay, so we start talking into it. Before you know it, guys, it was amazing. It was amazing. In the middle of my storm, I had good time. I felt good. I wasn't cold anymore. And I started seeing the beauty in my storm. Your enemy, Satan, wants you down. He wants you discouraged. You know, even sometimes he wants to take the blame. He's like, yeah, I've done it. I'm causing your life to be miserable. But what are we going to choose? You know, when we read Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 4, it says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So does that mean the Spirit of God can lead us in a circumstance or in a season for us to be tested? Help me out. Let's not read this verse so fast. It says here, go back to it in your Bible. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Now understand, God never tempts us to do bad things. Mm-mm. But the Spirit of the Lord can lead us into a season, circumstances, where we are tested. And I didn't have time to write that on the screen, but if you have time, you can write it down. The story in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 to 7 reveals what? It reveals that our victory, write that down, victory over temptation. It reveals that our victory over temptation does not depend on our location. Our victory over weakness, over sins, does not depend on our location. So two words right here, victory and location. It reveals that our victory and our over temptation does not depend on our location, position, or our needs. But our victory depends on the level of steadfastness in the word of the Lord. Amen. So my victory depends on the choice I have while I'm in quarantine. The choice I'm going to make in my mind up here to apply God's word in my circumstance. That's how we experience victory. We experience victory when we apply God's word in our lives. It's not enough to have head knowledge of the Bible. It's not enough to have head knowledge of the word of the Lord. We will experience victory the moment we start applying God's word in our lives. Oh, I love this. Our level of commitment to know God's word through determination and conviction. Oh, that will determine our victory. You know, in Matthew, the time of testing showed that Jesus was really also the Son of God. And we sang it earlier. Overcome, Christ has overcome the world. The world. No, actually, it was John 16 that says that. Jesus said, I promise you, and this is the promise he has given us. He's given us eternal life. He says, I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. A person has not shown true obedience if he or she has never had an opportunity to disobey. A person has not shown true disobedience if that person has never had an opportunity to disobey. You know you're obedient to your parents when you have an opportunity to disobey. I know. You will know you are following God's word when you have an opportunity to do the opposite. Is that clear? And I tell you, that's one of the reasons our churches or Christians' life is just... I said it last Sunday, Satan wants us to live a worthless Christian life. A life that's showing no power. My friends will see the difference in my life as a Christian the moment I start living, applying God's word in my life. A person has not shown true obedience if that person has never had an opportunity to disobey. And I tell you guys, I'm preaching to the choir. All of you probably already know what I'm saying here. But I'll never stop. More than ever, we need to live by God's word. More than ever, you need to know God's word. You need to know it. We need to know the season we're living in. Young kids, you got to know it. I know we put a lot of emphasis on getting them to get an education. Yes. But more than ever, they need to know God's word. Tell my son all the time, you got to know the word. You know the word, know God intimately. If you open your Bibles again with me in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. Oh, I love this. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. But the verse 3 is where we really want to go. But this is, listen to what it says. It says, be careful to obey all the commands I am giving you today. This is the word of the Lord. Then you will live and multiply. And you will enter and occupy the land the Lord God swore to give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you will obey his commands. Guys, when I read this, I said, Lord, give me your grace so I don't spend 40 years in the 15 days of journey you have for me. Did you know the journey from Egypt to Canaan was 15 days? What did they do? They're just going around circle. Why their character wasn't ready. Oh, man. I said, God, man, guys, may the Lord open your eyes to understand how many a generation actually died in the wilderness because their hearts couldn't obey. May the Lord give you and I grace to not escape His favor. It says, remember how the Lord your God led you through. So this also proves Matthew chapter 4 verse 1, the Holy Spirit can lead you into a season or put you in a season to test the level of obedience. I say, God, please give me a heart to obey. Humble me, Lord. Humble me. I don't know anything. Humble me, God. Humble me. You want to learn the lesson. You want to surrender, believe me. It's going to be good for you. The next verse says, verse 3, yes, He humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that the people do not live by bread alone. So you see, this is where Jesus came up with hey, people don't live with bread alone. But what do they do? Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So seriously, when we wake up in the morning, this is a challenge. I'm not saying you do it, but the first thing you should do, not only just check the weather, or turn on the Today Show or ABC News Morning, whatever morning news you watch. But the first thing should be just dive your nose in God's Word. Oh Lord, thank you for another morning. You know, find time. You won't have time. You won't have time. You might have to wake up an hour early before you have to really get ready for work. Wow. Deuteronomy chapter 8. It says that God led the Israelites into the wilderness to humble them and test them. God wants to see whether or not His people would be really obey Him. God wants to see that. You see, God knows my heart. He knows your heart. He knows, He wants to see, will you really obey Him? Will I really obey Him when I'm facing temptation to disobey? You will experience victory when you obey in a position to disobey. How simple is that? It's so simple. But once again, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to serve Him. You will receive power to do the things. Let me ask you this question. What will you do when you find yourself in the wilderness? Ask that. Write it down. What will I do when I'm in the wilderness? Wilderness is not fun. Wilderness is hot. Wilderness is dry. You know, remember, your convictions are only strong if they hold up and under pressure. Your convictions are only strong if they hold up under pressure. When I'm under pressure as a pastor, if I blow it, if I start yelling at people, it tells you about my conviction. My convictions are only strong when they're under pressure. At work, everybody's just driving me crazy. I want to choke them. But I know my conviction tells me I should be gentle and nice. Now I shouldn't let them run over me. Oh, you got to stand up for yourself. Let them know, hey, you can't run over me. I respect you. But don't you ever talk to me like that. See, that's another, you know, sometimes people think, well, because you're a Christian, you should allow people to talk to you any way they wish to. Of course not. Of course not. I respect you, you respect me. But then when I want to choke them, I have a way to deal with it. We all have been there. We all have been there. The worst job in my life was a car salesman. Oh, man, I wanted to kill those people. I told you guys this story already, right? I worked as a car salesman for 9 months. I sold 2 cars, one to Kendra's uncle, the other one to my best friend. That's how bad I was as a car salesman. I couldn't sell a car because it was bad. I don't know, maybe if it's still like that. It was too many lies and too many twists and dog eat dogs. And, you know, I was just like, man, I'm not doing it. My conviction was under pressure. I'm like, I'm not doing it, you know? So I'm sorry. First month, I sold no cars. Second month, none, you know? Making bare minimum money. But the Lord was faithful. You know, the devil is also called Satan. He tempted, as we read in the Bible, he tempted Eve in the garden. And here he tempted Jesus. Understand that Satan is also a fallen angel. He's real. Satan is not a symbolic. He is constantly fighting against those who follow and obey God. If you come to church, or if you know up here that God exists, he doesn't deal with you. It's like Christians that are just like lukewarm Christians. You know, it's like there's no passion for the Lord. Not really interesting in being a mature Christian. Someone who understands and can do a spiritual battle. Spiritual battle. You get to the place where you intercede for other people. Lukewarm Christian, he doesn't care. But the moment while you're sitting right here, you're like, you know what? I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm cleaning my house. I'm turning away from my sin. The moment you make that decision, there is a flag in the radar of Satan. He's like, oh, this person has got a determination. Understand, Satan doesn't know your heart until you speak it. Satan can't read your mind until you declare it. But the moment you start talking, you know, I will follow Christ. Oh, you wake up in the morning or in the evening during the day. You know, even some of us, you know, we listen to, you know, like secular music all the time. And you make a decision. You're like, you know what? I'm just going to make sure I'm being intentional about listening to worship music and stuff. You might realize, man, it's hard. Some of us, you wake up in the morning, you don't eat. You're like, you know what? I'm not hungry, and it's 12 o'clock. You're not hungry. 2 o'clock. You're like, finally get something in your belly. Okay, it's all good. But the day you say, you know what? I'm going to do 3 days fast. I'm going to fast and seek the Lord. I mean, the first morning, you're so hungry. The first morning, you're like, remember, this flesh is weak. You got to drag it. You gotta make it do the things of the Lord. Jesus will one day reign over all nations. That's why as things going on around the world, I tell you, and I'm encouraging you and challenging you. Keep praying. Keep your eyes on him. Understand that one day all nations will kneel down. Remember, Satan tries to force his hands and get Jesus to declare his kingdom prematurely. Thank God that Jesus overcame the world. When temptation seems especially strong, or when you think you can't rationalize giving in, consider whether Satan may be trying to block God's purpose in your life. Let me give you an example. You know, let me tell you this. When temptation seems especially strong, or when you think, man, I can't reason with this situation. I feel like I'm going to give in. But think, if you give in, you might screw up God's plans for your life. Example, Joseph. Guys, just think with me for a moment. What if Joseph would have given? Think, man, Potiphar's wife. It's my master's wife. And my master's wife was just hitting, the master's wife was hitting on Joseph. She wanted to lay with him. I mean, Joseph was a good-looking 18, 19-year-old in charge. No, I think she was older than that. In charge of the master's affairs and houses. Just imagine if Joseph didn't have that strong conviction, what would happen to the people of Israel. His victory at that time secured the prosperity of Israel at the time of famine. On the other hand, Samson, a judge appointed by God to defend the Israelite. You know what he did? He didn't have character. He didn't have conviction. He fell in love with a bunch of Philistines women, finally Delilah, and give away his secrets, cut his hair. Then they burn his eyes, lost his eyesight. Well, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Joseph. It's unfortunate Samson blew it. But we do have an example, you and I, to continue to follow Christ when temptation comes. I like this. When temptation seems especially strong, or when you think you can rationalize giving in, or reason. I mean, you know what? Maybe. Don't ever maybe temptation. I thank God for this. I thank God for my wife. That's why I don't want to lead with her. A couple years ago, there was maybe like 8 years ago, there was a young lady that came to our church. I mean, young girl. She was delivered by the Lord. I mean, she was going through a tough time. We took her in, embracing her and stuff, you know, just helping her, give her a family and all that stuff. But before you know it, she started falling in love with me. I didn't know that. I'm just a pastor. I love everybody. I think it's all good. But then she started texting me, like sending me, you know, good night, pastor. I think, well, it's good night, my sister. It's okay, you know. But finally, one day, she had the guts to really tell me how she feels. It's real. In the church, I preach every day, every Sunday. I minister to her. She always wanted to give me a special hug. At first, I never read. But then, once I start really reading into it, I realized what she really wanted to. Then she told me she loves me. I said, well, really? Why don't you need to go tell my wife? Did she come tell you? She didn't. Long story short, but she was like so open, you know what, going after it. I mean, no kidding, going after it. And I'm a man. She's a woman. I'm feeling it. I'm seeing it. I'm realizing it's real. So, talk to my pastors, my peers about it. Talk to my wife about it. First of all, I went to her. I was like, you can't do that. You can't do this because this is the plan of the enemy for you. And I rebuke it for me. You can't do that. Don't ever. And I said, don't ever. And when I say don't ever, you better not do it. Well, guess what? She kind of escaped me for a couple of weeks. And then finally, she wanted to talk to me one day. She came and talked to me. I was like, oh, yeah. When I see her, no hug, no handshakes. Guys, it's all God's grace. You see, you are as strong as your character. I've known and I've seen preachers. I've seen sons and daughters of the Lord that has fallen. I'm not saying this because I am this. No. It's all by grace. I'm just talking about when temptation comes. You need to know your convictions even before you find yourself in the situation. And I thank God that He protected and saved me from that. If Finally, you know what happened. She wouldn't give in. She wouldn't let go. Then I told her, I said, all right, now come here. You see, today, this is the last day I see you at this church. If next time I see you, I'm going to tell the whole church you want to sleep with me so they can help me out. How do you like that? And I was serious. That's the last time I saw her at the church. Did I kick her out the church? No. But she was also in the will of Satan to destroy me. So as a young man, if I didn't say that, if I didn't like, get away from me, Satan, I mean, who knows where would I be? Who knows what would happen to me? Guys, don't give in. I don't know what it is in your life right now. Don't give in. Stand up your ground. In our marriage, we did not have a good marriage to start with. But when God opened up our eyes, we saw, we realized, man, there's no lost years. If you're still married, I don't care if you've been married for 60 years, you can still enjoy each other. You can still have a good friendship. You can still live with no regrets. No regrets. No regrets. Do you know that I give this woman all my affection, all my love? I give this man all my affection. Don't go back to what could have been, should have been. Today, honey, we make a choice. One of us make the choice. Two of us come together. And if you need help, find help. And I'm serious. And I'm going to finish with this next week. I was planning to finish this today. But are you learning something? It's just Matthew chapter 4. Oh, don't give in. Don't give in. I don't know, maybe today you feel like you need to step forward, come to the altar, invite Dan to come. But please, give an answer to the Lord, to His word this morning. If you feel like there's a step you got to make towards what the Lord's speaking to you this morning, I invite you. Not that you're weak or anything like that, but you want to make a step forward. If you want to dedicate your life towards searching God, I invite you to step forward. Because there's something about, you know what? I'm making a step forward. So I invite you. I'm going to make myself available to pray. Or maybe just come to the altar and lay before the Lord. And make things right between you and Him. Or maybe your conviction needs to be shaped this morning. Let's give an answer to the word of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Father.